Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of PrepareForChange.net radio show. If you enjoy our shows, please go to PrepareForChange.net and use the donate button. We are all volunteers and appreciate your support. Today, my guest is Dr. David Dower. Holistic healthcare is more than just making the pain disappear. It's about learning, understanding, and taking care of your body to improve your quality of life. This is the premise from which Dr. Dower works. Through patient education, natural solutions to common health problems, and motivation towards improved and responsible care, health can be restored and maintained. Patients' responses differ from person to person, and this is the reason that individual treatment plans are created for each one. With an insatiable desire to discover the answers to healing, Dr. Dower has spent his life learning the different modalities that will enhance patients' chances of regaining full health. Dr. Dower stresses gentle, holistic health care, as well as ways it can improve the quality of life. Dr. Dower believes in the ancient saying, "Do no harm." He is fulfilling his life's mission by helping his patients heal and moving on with their own life's mission. Welcome, Dr. Dower. Can you start by telling us a little about your background that brought you to the healing field?
Okay, well, my background, my first introduction to the holistic field, as it were, was when I was 7 years old. So I think I'd like to recount that a little bit. I was just playing around like a kid at 6 years old did at the time. And then all of a sudden, my kidneys failed me, and I couldn't avoid any urine. So that was pretty serious. So I was in the hospital, and that temporary stays, it was extended for 10 and a half months. And I was swollen up with ascites, which is abdominal toxic fluid. And I was getting six penicillin shots a day and a blood test every other day. And then a turret of six needles embedded, or I should say penetrating my abdomen cavity, peritoneal, to drain out that fluid because that urea was toxic. Because remember, I was not voiding any urine. And for the whole...
They didn't do dialysis?
No, there was no such thing as dialysis at that time.
Oh, okay.
So at any rate, you either make it or you don't. So I noticed that a lot of these kids, they were sending them home, they're getting worse, and the implication was they sent them home when they were getting better, but I knew they were getting worse. So when they sent me home, I know it was my time too. So I got sent home, and then my dad said, well, he's sent home to die with his family, so maybe we should take another tack. And my mother said, well, what do you got in mind? I think we should go to a chiropractor, he said. And my mother said, well, we can't go to those guys. They're not recognized the same level as the medical doctors. And he says, well, they may not be recognized, but they can come up results when the medical field has no answers. And so he said, let me tell you my story, Margaret, which is my mother's name. So he told him his story, how in Gary, Indiana, and Hammond was getting more polluted all the time back then, and it really hurt his asthmas and allergies. So what happened was he wouldn't go to the chiropractor because his friend showed him a nerve chart of the autonomic nerve system, which is automatic kind of way the nerves go in to run the organs, because the nerve system runs and controls all the organs and tissues in the body. So he wouldn't go because of that, but finally he had to go because it was getting so bad, because he didn't have any pain. That's why he wouldn't go. But he had pain in the chest from the bronchi. So they went over there, and he was shocked that he not only got rid of his asthma, but the allergies along with it, in spite of increasing pollution in that area. In the air. Mm-hmm. So that made a big impression on him, of course, because he suffered pretty bad. And, you know, asthma that gets bad enough, it can kill you. So at any rate, he's telling this to my mother. He says, maybe our son has a similar thing, an irritated organ nerve from the autonomics that he can't feel any more than I could feel mine, except in his case, it's a silent killer. Because the prognosis is terminal. So she says, okay, we got nothing else to lose, so let's do it. So they went to a chiropractor, husband and wife team in Beverly Hills, Chicago area. No movie industry, but it's a high-end area. Mm. So they went over there, and the chiropractor took adjustments and took x-rays and did an examination on me. And he told my mother, he said, asked a question, when was the injury? And she says, what injury? Well, and he held up the x-ray, says, look at the x-ray here. He turned it, put it on the view box, said, look at this, it's all twisted out. They showed a normal, said, his is all twisted out. He couldn't grow into that. That's from some type of injury. So it turned out, says, well, when you think about it, yeah, some kid ran his bike into his back about a year and a half ago. And we went to the medical doctor, said, don't worry, in 3-4 weeks it'll clear up. And the pain did go away. But then about a year later, all of a sudden, his kidneys failed. And so here we are.
Oh.
So he says, well, that's going to be the cause then. So it's a high probability we'll be able to fix him up. But there's no guarantee, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So he went ahead and treated me. And immediately, within, I would say, seconds, I got a surge of energy as soon as he adjusted me. Now, I still had that toxic urea in me, which is about one-third of my weight. I went from 60 pounds to 90 pounds, and I looked like I had a bowling ball or ready to deliver a couple mini twins, shall we say, because I had a baseball bat in the picture, and my belly sticking way out with all that fluid.
Mm.
So it was pretty gross. Anyway, to make a long story short, we're getting all kinds of nutritional instruction, and then what happened was I told my mother, this is about 20 or 25 minutes of instruction, and I said, Mom, I think I got to go to the bathroom. And she says, she assumed it was number two. And I said, no, it feels like it's number one. I said, what? So I went in there and avoided a little bit of urine. Not a lot, but I avoided it. And then we went pretty much almost every day to him for about 2 weeks. And, well, let's say four out of the 7 days we mm-hmm. went to him. At any rate, at the end of the 2 weeks, all that ascites, that fluid, was voided out. And I was 100% returned to health, and I was fine. So he saved my life. And he did it with other cases, too. And I never saw any other chiropractor that did that either. And ironically, I'm not using that system myself, but I'm handling other cases. For example, on the asthma thing, I had a more extensive, more difficult case than my dad even. My front office lady, I didn't know this, was in the process of an asthma attack, and she started to turn a little bit cyanotic, a tinge of blue. Mm-hmm. Says, I forgot my inhaler. I got to run home and get it. I said, I'm not going to let you go. You'll never make it out of the parking lot. You're going to crash into somebody because you're going to crash yourself, and then you're going to crash into somebody.
Yeah.
So I said, I told him, call 911. We got to get her out of here. And unfortunately, I didn't have my oxygen. Somebody had lifted it. So I didn't have oxygen. But anyway, we got the paramedics on the way. And I went ahead and I said, get in room one. She kept insisting going on. I said, look, you can't do that. I've adjusted you before, but you need a very special adjustment for this. So I did it. I did a special double leg move. And within about 3 or 4 seconds, she was breathing perfectly. But it's a move that can affect the central nervous system in a big time way. And I knew that would have some type of impact. I didn't know it would be quite that dramatic because I never had anybody that dramatic in an asthma case. Because
mm-hmm.
you're not going to see them at a queue. See? So anyway, I got her fixed up. Then about 3 weeks later, she came in with a raging migraine and had a heck of a time driving in. Now I was in the last stage of the migraine when it goes to the vascular stage. And so I went ahead and treated her, but that took about 9 minutes to fix. It was working furiously because that's in the last stage is very difficult to reverse. But I got it completely reversed in 9 minutes. But if they're in the prodromal stage in the beginning, it can be another 3-second thing. Like I had a new office manager go to San Francisco, and he says, I got to go. And I said, wait a minute, go where? He says, I got to get some meds because I feel a migraine coming on. I said, you didn't tell me you had any of this stuff. I said, well, I normally have with meds. I don't have meds right now, and I got to get down to the pharmacy real quick. And I said, look, give me a few seconds and I can fix this. He said, you don't understand. I got to have the meds. I said, you don't understand. This is what we do. Plus, this is critical stuff. I need you to get this information, and plus, I'll relieve your pain. So at any rate, he finally quickly agreed. I said, just give me 3 or 4 seconds. That's all I need. And I did a special, what they call HIO, hole-in-one thing, because it can be dramatic. That was first cervical. Went ahead and made that move, and he was the migraine didn't go into a full migraine. And by the way, at that time, in the medical field, they're saying it's migraine is purely a vascular situation. Mm-hmm. But based on what I saw in the clinic, I knew it was more neurological. At least the first half is going to be neurological. Studies have now proved beyond any doubt that the first two-thirds of the migraine is all neurological, and the last stage comes fully vascular. But see, I've learned a lot of things that way by paying close attention to what's going on. And so a lot of things that I've said that were considered maybe not exactly 100% accurate have turned out to be, I've been proven every time, virtually every time, by research since then. Because I'm very carefully observing what's going on. Plus, I have a science background. And soon after I got out of the hospital, my uncle, Dr. Berg, gave me a chemistry set and got me going on chemistry and all the rest of it. And Dr. Berg was a very famous scientist. He put the University of Southern California on the international map in chemistry. And when he died, he was so famous, when he died, the LA Times had in 2003, they had a pull-out section on him. They give you an idea how famous he was.
Wow.
And so he should have had two Nobel Prizes. He didn't get any because he didn't pay attention to it. First one, he got ripped off on. The second one, a student colleague was willing to put him on the Nobel Prize so he could share it with him, but he said, no, I didn't do the actual research. Yes, I mentored you and gave you ideas, but I didn't do the actual research or publish anything, so you take it. So he was offered to it because he knew he should have had it, his student, but he didn't get it. But at any rate, he didn't care about that kind of thing. So so that's the people I come from, and all my uncles were famous scientists, actually. So that's the trend I was in. So I went to the University of Chicago on an Illinois State Scholarship and physical chemistry. And pretty much on my own, I did a special study of quantum physics because I got more and more interested in that. I was interested in, it was counterintuitive, but I did like it. And I felt I'd try and implement that in clinical medicine, which I was now going into after I changed my career path, because I had some more help from injuries I had from chiropractic. I didn't know acupuncture at that time, but that made an impression on me. So I said, you know, this is just too helpful a field and too dramatic for me not to be part of this. Maybe it's my destiny or something. So I went into the field. And I graduated from the school after five hard years of study and extra study and everything else. At any rate, I got cum laude, and then I went into practice. I did practice out here in California. This was all in Chicago where the school was. Went to National University of Health Sciences, which out of, I think there's 40 or 50 schools worldwide, and it's ranked number one. It's the Harvard. It was Super Harvard, but the others are catching up, I'm happy to say. Because when I came out here, I would ask questions, I go to the seminars, they say, you must be from National, from that institution. And I said, does my Midwest accent show? He said, no, you guys always ask questions nobody can ever answer. That's how we know you're from National. But I took a course in economics, same thing happened in that too. I asked all kinds of questions the professor couldn't answer. And so I was excelled in economics, too. I just did that because of my involvement in a little bit of real estate, shall we say. Okay, but that's just an aside. So anyway, so I came out here, and I went to a seminar. I go to seminars all the time. And this chiropractor was up there, who was also an acupuncturist. He did just pressure points around the eyes with a blunt needle, no penetration, for somebody who's having trouble seeing. And the man was astounded that he could see so much better. It was radically better. He could almost see perfectly when he was so clouded and everything. So I was very impressed by that. I said, I think I better learn some acupuncture too, because it would fit very well with the system that I'm doing. So, because I was very much into the central nervous idea of chiropractic, because I knew that it could do something because it saved my life.
Right.
So, see, not just aches and pain stuff. And it's more dramatic. So at any rate, that's the direction I was going, and I went to the South Baylor University School of Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Actually, since it's a Korean school, you got to call it Asian medicine. Okay, but so I went there. I graduated summa cum laude, which means straight A's. The lowest grade I got over there was an A. So then they retained me as a professor over there, an adjunct professor. So I taught the clinical sciences for a short time. Mm. And then not too long, because I wanted to get back into practice, because I knew I could make an impact. I was already getting some incredible cases, you know, before that, practicing chiropractic, mm-hmm. because I was practicing chiropractic for maybe 7 or 8 years before I made that move. And so that's pretty much where we're going. Then I did...
did you also take Oriental medicine the same time as the acupuncture?
Yeah, that's all incorporated. It was Asian medicine, and which includes Chinese medicine. I learned Japanese medicine and all that from the traditional side, from various acupunctures. For example, the my professor, the main professor over there, was a Vietnamese professor. He was ranked number 2 or 3 in all of Vietnam. They got thousands of them that were acupuncturists. So he was pretty sharp. But he says, I'm so frustrated. He wanted to go and practice because he couldn't pass the board in California because it's so tough, because it's because of the language thing. Because they shouldn't have had somebody who, with English as a second language, writing those questions. Because I had to think, I know the answers. I don't know what he's asking here. I had to think hard myself. I think this is what he means. And I passed the board okay. But it was tough for me. Now, English is his second language. He never had a chance.
Wow.
So he relegated. He only teaching in the university. He couldn't get out and practice. So then they finally put it in the Vietnamese language. Like they had it in Korean and I believe Japanese and, of course, Chinese. And then he passed it flying colors. He was a snap. He said, but before that, he lamented, I know all the answers. I don't know the questions.
Yes, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, he was brilliant, but he couldn't pass it. Mm-hmm. But then it was so easy when it was in his own language. See?
Right.
Because they said the next time, I think they finally got rid of somebody who's not a native speaker, because they didn't ask the questions right. Those are complicated questions. So at any rate, so that was his thing. So I was happy I could direct him and help him with that. And then moving along... let's see. Well, then we should talk about maybe the clinical practice, some of the things I'm doing.
I'd like to hear about that.
Okay. Well, my orientation, as I told you, was the neurological side. The central nervous system, which the audience should understand, is the brain, which we all know would be central nervous system 1, the brain. Central nervous system 2 is the spinal cord. And for the function of the body, it's equally as important as the brain, or it doesn't get any credit because it's not dramatic. You see, it's just a quiet operator. But without it, everything goes haywire, literally and figuratively. So, for example, if you have biomechanical spinal stenosis, which is in plain English just squeezing off of the cord even a little bit, doesn't take much at all. It's very light pressure will do this. Then you're going to get malfunction of the spinal cord, which will adversely affect the brain itself. So what we have to do is get the whole brain system to work right, to get the whole thing fully integrated and fully balanced, both those things. And if you don't fully integrate it first, you can never balance it. The best analogy for you football players out there would be like the brain would be the quarterback, gets all the glory and all the fame because he's got all the diversity. But then you got the offensive linemen. And if they're having a bad day, if their play is offensive, they're not playing well, that quarterback's going to be sitting on his butt a lot. And 2 Super Bowls ago, that's what happened to Peyton Manning. His offensive line didn't protect him good, and he's one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks. And he had a miserable day that day because he kept getting rushed like crazy and he couldn't perform properly. That's what happens to the brain when the spinal cord doesn't work right. Your brain will not function right. I can't predict exactly how it'll malfunction, but it'll malfunction at least a little bit to something very serious. Could be even life-threatening. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm getting a lot of these terminal cases turned around and going towards real wellness. That's what I'm kind of specializing in, doing that type of work. Although I'm treating resistant cases that have been to... In a chronic disease mode with a lot of chronic pain, and they don't know where to go, and I'm happy to help them get them out of it. But I have a lot of different modalities that I use, not just chiropractic and acupuncture, which is plenty diverse within themselves.
I'll say.
Yeah, there's many, many different ways you can treat, in just about as many in chiropractic as in acupuncture, by the way. Mm-hmm. I do cranial acupuncture, auricular acupuncture. I do Korean hand acupuncture. I do just about everything there is. I do Japanese acupuncture, Vietnamese acupuncture, all of it.
So how do you decide which mode to use when a patient comes
in? It's all kind of, it's not particularly, except for the specific anatomical areas like the ear and the hands and the feet and stuff like that. But the rest of the factors, it's all kind of blended together. So you're kind of doing a little bit of each one. But there's all kinds of different techniques. There's two and four needle techniques, and then there's multiple needles. And it's just whatever you want to do. And then there's laser. I use laser quite a bit. So people that have an aversion to having any needles, because that's important. Mm-hmm. Then I do all kinds of nutrition, all the Chinese herbs and about every other herbal system that's on the planet. I'm doing all those. And let's see, what else? Then all kinds of supplementation. It's a lot of supplements. And the biggest comment I want to make on supplementation is you've got to get the right type of supplements. If your supplements are artificial or incomplete, they can be natural as far as they go. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example of vitamin E. There's four tocopherols, there's vitamin E subgroups. You have alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. And almost all, if you look at the label in your normal drugstores, they're all alpha. The problem with alpha is it starts to get drug-like side effects when you start to get 800 international units. And that's only in some form of some supplements that's just two pearls, two capsules.
Mm-hmm.
You get to 800 very quickly.
Right.
And you can get real problems from that, drug-like symptoms. Now, they have the Shoot Brothers way back in the 60s did a study with vitamin E, and this was the four tocopherols, the way it comes in nature. You got to be suspicious when it doesn't come that way in nature, and they're saying it's the same as nature. So at any rate, they went up to 16,000 international units, not 800, but 16,000, and there was no side effects whatsoever. But on 800, the fractionated E, which is kind of a counterfeit E, caused people to have significant side effects. And it's very important for cancer prevention and all kinds of other stuff, and liver function, which has a lot to do with whether you're going to have toxicity in the body or not. Mm-hmm. Because liver, as you know, is the major organ for detoxification, with the kidney pretty important too.
Right.
So that's the way I view it, is I try and get as natural as possible. There's been some studies to show, but they haven't been well publicized in the media, because how can I say this? Let's just say they don't want this to be well known. But certain supplements that are artificial, that are taken, let's say, once a day, that type of thing, studies have shown that you're, compared to no supplement, you're going to die on average around 10 years earlier than no supplement at all, versus the natural supplements that are complete and the closest thing you can find to nature, you're going to reportedly, you can live 10 years longer than the control. In other words, there's a 20-year difference between the artificial counterfeit supplement from the pharmaceutical houses made,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
versus the natural supplement that pretty much duplicates nature. See, so you got to be careful. You're better off taking nothing if you're going to take that counterfeit garbage.
And the pharmaceutical is the DL mostly?
Yeah, see, because there's D and L, see, both. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it comes in just with L form normally. Okay.
Right.
Yes. So in nature. So you can't fool Mother Nature. Somebody had some ad on TV I saw one time. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature or something. So there's a lot of truth to that. Watch out for counterfeit foods and everything. For example, when it comes to meat, they're always talking grass-fed, but you can't just run them out in the pasture, run them back. They got to have a full diet of grass, because that's what beef and cattle were raised on for thousands, tens of thousands of years. And now we're feeding them grains, and it's been proven beyond any doubt that it causes arthritis, because you get an influx of arachidonic acid, which is a promoter of rheumatoid arthritis, but I'm sure it doesn't help you on that either. But it's shown just on osteoarthritis, it causes you to have a proclivity to get more osteoarthritis. You can get it a lot easier. You're going to get an arthritis if you have your joints misaligned long enough. That's where chiropractic comes. The routine chiropractic comes in to keep those joints lined up, because
mm-hmm.
then you get abnormal normals. And abnormal normals over time will cause calcium proliferation, better known as arthritis, not just deposits, it actually incorporated in the bone matrix. And you get spurs coming out and all kinds of stuff. And then when it hits the nerves, that causes the muscles to go in spasm. And then that'll cause more nerve stuff. And you get in these positive feedback loops, better known as vicious cycles.
Yeah.
See? And then that's why you can't get that cured in one visit. See? But it's very important when the chiropractor tells you to do those therapeutic exercises, you better do them because you're trying to get it regrowth. Because the elongated muscles, here's your two vertebrae here, and you're twisted out or tilted or something like that. And it's been like that for years, and you may not have pain for a long time. This is a silent arthritic builder. It's not going to particularly kill you, but it could be a silent killer too. You never know what it's going to take out the autonomic nerve system, disturb it, and that's going to disturb your vital organs. And I don't call them vital for nothing. Okay. Anyway, to make a long story short, so you put it in alignment, it's going to pull out again because that's your normal. But they won't feel it because it's loose. See, uh-huh. And if they disappear and think they're cured, well, guess what happens? And it tightens up and then it jams. They say, oh, it just went out. It didn't just go out. It was out the whole time already. It was out for years. But if it's loose and out, not jammed, then you don't feel anything, most patients, until it jams. Mm-hmm. They say it just went out because they'll say, well, I was fine last night and now I'm bent over. I can't move. See, well, why can't they move? Because it hit on the nerve, you know, from maybe they slept a little bit weird, but they were predisposed to have that happen. If you took x-rays of them, so maybe I had x-rays on them a week before because they came in for something. Who knows what. Anyway, they were a little bit tight and they need x-rays because they didn't know, we don't know what's going on with that case. Not that we have taken all the cases, but some mm-hmm. need it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, take a picture there. And then after this new thing, they want x-rays again. So, okay, I don't like taking that soon, but you don't know for sure what's going on because they might have a break or something. So you take the film. You don't take a lot, but you take a film and you look at it and it looks the same as it was before, except maybe it's tilted a little bit more because the muscles are in spasm. But the amount of degeneration is no change. So bottom line is they were an accident waiting to happen is the point. And maybe they slept wrong, but they don't have to sleep wrong at all if it's ready to go. But the takeaway on this is get lined up as best you can, do the right postural exercises, and work with your chiropractor. Do the exercise so you minimize the amount of treatment and have the treatment last you for many years with occasional, maybe a little tune-up once in a while.
And the exercises and the adjustments are actually reminding the body that this is where it needs to be.
Yeah, because we're born with symmetrical musculature, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when you get knocked out and the muscle groin is shortened over here and elongated here, that becomes your abnormal normal.
Yeah.
See, so we got to get you back in alignment, and then you've got to do the exercises to maintain that alignment. Otherwise, you're going to go out again. You can get away with, say, if this is your normal range, and then you're out of alignment, you're going to be like this. See, because mm-hmm. when you turn, you have truncated range of motion. So you want to get back to this as much as you can, even if you're a little bit out of alignment, because you can't, if it's been there for decades, it's pretty tough to get exactly right. The good news is you don't have to. Mm-hmm. And as far as the arthritis, mm-hmm. I can't do anything. They said I have arthritis, nothing can be done. Well, I said, well, you're in pain right now. How about getting rid of your pain, for starters? Okay, and then if we get you moving good enough.
That's usually a motivator.
Yeah, that's a motivator.
Getting out of pain.
Right, let's get you out of pain, get you off these addictive drug painkillers, which mm. are not doing your liver and everything else any good.
Right.
Because sooner or later, that's going to catch up with the side effects. You know, Tylenol is the number one cause for liver transplants, and ibuprofen, my kidney transplant patient, told me that you're going to be hearing about ibuprofen getting right up there with Tylenol for the kidneys.
Hmm.
So that's coming.
Wow.
But anyway, so you got to be careful on all this stuff. So bottom line is you need to get it moving good. So I tell the patient, look, if it's moving, if you're not having any pain, if it's not getting any worse in the future, even though you still have the arthritis, if you take a picture, it's still there. I mean, how bad is that? You know, isn't that a pretty good thing? Sure, you got the arthritis. The medics are right. You can't get rid of the arthritis, but you can get it moving good, so you got rid of the pain, and it's not getting any worse in the future. I mean, what's wrong with that, see? But it's not a cure. The minute you stop doing the exercises or coming in for occasional but regular visits, maybe as little as once every 3 months, it'll tend to grow again. Then it'll be at a different level because it'll degenerate quiescently a lot of times until it hits you again. Now we'll have less to work with, and it's going to be tougher to get you back every time you do that. So why not just get it the best possible? And it's like going to a dentist and deciding whether you're going to brush your teeth or not. See, because they'll come in and say, well, I was doing fine, and I didn't come back for years because I'm doing so good, and now I've been over last night, and I can hardly move, and I figure you can do your magic again. And I said, well, let me ask you something. If your teeth feel good, do you stop brushing them?
See? That's a good analogy.
Yeah, because I got to get it over quick because I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I want to make an impact. But that's the way it is. I said, I want you to do this exercise. I don't care how good you're feeling. Tell yourself, I want to feel good. That's why I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it on a regular basis. I make it a habit. If you don't make it a habit, you know, and like this one medical doctor told some patients, he says, I want you to do what I'm telling you to do, whether it's the worst day in your life or the best day in your life. Because if it's a habit, you'll still do it.
Right.
See? Market crash or whatever, you got divorced or you had some, you won the lottery, whatever, you're mm-hmm. still gonna brush your teeth.
Right.
And we want that with what we do on the medical side too. That includes the medical doctors too, because they want to have their recommendations followed as well. And if you're not gonna follow it, then you shouldn't go to whatever doctor you're going to, whether it's me or whatever. Because if I'm more concerned about getting you well than you are, we're wasting our time.
Right.
See, that's nothing's more irritating. You'd be surprised how much that happens. You know, maybe it's because they
I'm
don't
not
have the
surprised.
Same. Yeah. Okay.
I spent my life in nursing.
Well, you know what I'm talking
so,
about.
So, yeah, there. I know yeah. what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. The males are the worst, but there's some females that are bad, too. So, but at any rate, okay, what else?
So, you, when you work with patients, you, I'm sure you take a really good history
oh, yes.
on them.
Yes.
You find out about their habits and, you know, their life practices,
mm-hmm.
and then you take that all into consideration mm-hmm. when you go about your treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you have a little intuitive ability also in this when you design a treatment plan for them?
Well, I tell patients, please understand what I'm doing here. I'm trying to use an approach like Sherlock Holmes. You know, I'm looking for clues.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I might be tapping percussion down the back with my percussion hammer. But a hammer is maybe, I should say, instrument because I'm not hammering them. But I have to tell the patient, I'm not looking for pain. Everybody wants to work with pain.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, they don't have any pain. Well, I came in for my asthma or this or that or my irritable bowel syndrome. I'm not here for regular muscle pain. I said, that's fine. Just tell me where it's more noticeable, where you feel it, where it's more noticeable when I'm tapping, because I'm tapping the same amount of force everywhere. And they say, well, I feel like this one 26-year-old not too long ago said, I'm feeling it right here about T12 and L1. That's the juncture between the end of the mid-back and the beginning of the low back.
Right.
And I said, okay, how have your kidneys been? And he said, funny you should ask, because about 2.5 months ago, a medical doctor said I might probably should get some kidney function tests. See, just from that little clue.
Mm-hmm.
It just asks
mm-hmm.
a question. There's more things. I can check the pulses like we do in Chinese medicine.
Right, right.
And the tongue and all the rest of it. And we look for signs in the eye. It's not exactly iridology, but there are signs in the eye. And you just do a full physical inspection that way. Mm-hmm. Plus, I check for circulation because we hold it up and you see how long it takes for the circulation to come down. You have one artery at a time. And two seconds is about normal for the average adult. You get sometimes they're 10 seconds or something. Then you say, well, maybe I got hardening in the arteries. So you do it again, you keep doing it, and it should get quicker all the time. If it doesn't get quicker, then you probably have arteriosclerosis and you can't respond. Because when you keep doing it over and over again, you sensitize the nerve system and it'll open up more. So it's a quick test. Take out all these physical tests to figure things out. Now I do nutrition testing too, a laboratory, where there's the clinical range and then there's the health range. Now, we've got a problem with that because when they give statins, what's going on? What's going on is people were handling lowering the cholesterol, which isn't really a problem. It's inflammation, by the way, mm-hmm. and triglycerides, mm-hmm. but they're off on this cholesterol thing. They're slowly but surely getting out of that now. But they're still there. They're still handing out statins like crazy.
They are.
Yeah, but bottom line is what happens, it causes liver malfunction, and you start to get outside the normal range. So they solve that. They just call that normal. They widen the range. So now you can be half dead and still have normal kidney function. You see
wonderful.
What I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what they got. And by the way, they've shown that vitamin E, D, fish oil, especially EPA a little bit more than DHA. Those are two major functions you want to look for in the label. And then what else? Garlic and things like that work as good or better than the statins. And what they're trying to do with cholesterol. So, you know, why not go that route? And especially a good omega B vitamin. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing, too. We've got to have complete supplements. I started to talk about that. Let's talk about the Bs. You don't hear much about it.
Yeah.
Because, for example, recent research has come out. Folic acid by itself is now known to be a cause of colon cancer by itself. Let's see. We talked about they're given niacin by itself. And they're given B12 seems to be relatively safe by itself. But the bottom line is, you shouldn't fractionate. I mean, let's get back to how it is in nature. Do you ever find these fractionated Bs in nature? You don't. So what I tell people is, it's okay to take some of these fractionated Bs as long as you're eating a good full-spectrum meal, meaning not a junk food meal, basically, whatever that is to you, but basically not the typical fast food meal.
Mm-hmm.
And you take omega B vitamin with it. That's the key. Because the Krebs cycle and the body is looking for that for all the Bs, and you're going to screw it up if you have counterfeit Bs. Counterfeit Bs is a single B here and there.
Mm-hmm.
See, so we don't know what else, because up until a couple months ago, folic acid was fine by itself. Now we're finding out you're getting cancer. You know what I'm saying?
I've done some OBGYN nursing, and I've seen doctors prescribe folic acid, especially to the maternity patients.
Well, that's fine, but I still want to see the mega B along with that.
Along
that's fine.
With it.
Yeah, because then you've got enough so you don't get a skewing and screwing of the patient's chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
See, remember, I'm a physical chemist. I understand the exquisiteness of chemistry. See, and it's subtle chemistry. There's not much difference sometimes. Just a little tiny one-atom shift can make something from something good for you to a toxic poison. See, it's that subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is that you've got to stay as close to nature as possible. That's why a lot of your nutritional medical doctors have given up on nutrition altogether. It's so complicated because they're not trained in it. So I just say just eat natural, and they're really pushing the green dye and everything else. And that will work if you can do it, but it's pretty tough to get that all the way. And then I don't want to come down 100% on fast food, although I've told some of my real persnickety patients that I eat fast food once in a while, and they're shocked. They think I'm a vegetarian. I'm not a vegetarian, but I think like a vegetarian. So I eat a lot of vegetables, see?
Mm.
And a lot of people are so sensitized to the sugars, especially fructose, corn syrup, and even artificial sugars. Still, you're not fooling Mother Nature, because it still maintains your sweet tooth. Plus, it has all kinds of bad side effects, too. It's just like drugs over time. Mm. And it's been shown that people on diet sugars, artificial sugars, tend to maintain their weight or gain even more. So they're defeating the purpose. You might as well have some cane sugar and just keep it to a low roar there.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about the food that I'm eating in the fast food, there I would get like cod. Now, the one bad thing is it's fried. So that's it. But I tell them, don't put any salt or anything. You get sweet potato fries with no salt. I haven't had regular fries in about 20 or 30 years. Because I won't have that. How you get unsweetened iced tea? So that's what I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
See, so, and I've been in, maybe hundreds of times, I've been in, say, Carl's Jr. or one of these other fast food places. I've never seen a single person there eating anywhere near the way I eat. They're eating all the Big Macs and the fries and the heavy, sugary corn syrup Cokes.
Yes.
And all the rest of it. So I feel you can eat reasonably decent. I don't eat that and make a habit out of it. But, I don't want to run them all the way into the ground, but they do have some options in the fast food place, and you got to look for it. Unsweetened iced tea is not going to cause you any problems whatsoever. And then, and I don't even have sugar in it, because in Chinese medicine, we like to have warm food. I figured that out, or I should say, everybody's into raw food. Yeah, but you should have a hot drink with it, because remember, in chemistry, you want it warm so you metabolize faster, because chemical reactions don't go good cold. So if you're raw food addict, I want you to have some hot tea with that. You should always have something hot every meal, unless it's 110 degrees out. That'll be the one exception.
Mm.
Yeah. So if your food is cold and raw, you better have a hot drink. And so I'm just, even just plain hot water. You better have something hot so you metabolize it right. And I figured that out just from simple chemistry before I went to Chinese medicine school. Then they emphasize that too. And as far as getting off the sugar, I mean, I have special treatments that I, in fact, it's very similar to my heroin. crystal meth and all the rest, that I used to get them off sugar, because sugar in the higher dosages are just about as addictive as these other things, smoking too. There's not much difference between the smoking and sugar addiction treatments and the heroin and meth crystal and all the oxycodone and all the other stuff. Pretty similar. There's only maybe 10-15% difference at most, usually 10, sometimes 5%. Depends on what I'm finding. I go by the person that has the disease, not totally by the disease. You got to go by both. See, that's called personalized medicine.
Do you have any certain group of patients that you treat more often than others, like chronic versus acute, or neurological patients versus people with digestive issues, or is it just pretty much a mix?
Well, you know, the thing they have in common that's really amazing is the central nervous system. All these things can fall under that. Because I remember one time I had patients all over the place. I was in Vegas, and they said, "When you're in Vegas, come visit me." The refugees from L.A., so they're in Vegas. They moved there for business reasons more than anything. At any rate, so there they are. And this one lady patient, I was getting ready because I had to leave to catch my plane to get back here to L.A. And she says, "You know, it's too bad I didn't tell you earlier, but I got a sciatica now. That sciatica came back. I did some lifting and I didn't sleep right and so forth." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Let me do a lift move on you real quick and see if that'll help you." And that's at about the L1 level. And remember, sciatica is coming at the end of the lumbar spine at the tail end. Mm-hmm. So I did that lift move where the spinal cord goes into this equini, like a horsetail, the nerves, it breaks up. It's not a solid cord. That's right where it starts to break up. And I didn't move right there because I wanted to impact the cord itself. And I impacted the cord. She said, "Oh, my God, it's gone. It's gone." I wasn't expecting that particularly. It was just like that. Sometimes it's so quick. Just like I had a gentleman, his wife was a psychotherapist, and she came in, and I helped her with fibromyalgia. And he had peripheral neuropathy. And he'd been to a number of chiropractors and acupuncturists. And he said, "They only got me about 40% better, and then it all went back." So I went ahead and did a very thorough treatment. And he phoned back and he said, because he was really tied up with his business and traveling and everything else, he couldn't come back in. But he says, "I've never had such a thorough cure of one visit." And we got rid of his peripheral neuropathy. Now, I would never have dreamed that's possible. I can't claim that I could do that again. But you never know. If you don't know, do you try?
Yeah.
Or just like this chiropractor at a seminar, he says, "Oh, I can hardly hear the sound. My ears are ringing so much." And I said, "How long have you had that tinnitus?" And he said, "Well, a lot of years. I went to a bunch of acupuncturists and chiropractors, and they got about 30% better. But I spent, how many visits? Maybe 20 all told with all of them. But I'm right back where I started from." I said, "Well, if we did chiropractic first," I palpated his neck, it was tight. I said, "If I do chiropractic first, I probably can get you about 70% better there. And I probably can get at least 50% better what's left. So you figure that out, that would be, what, 15, and that about 85% better you should expect in one visit." And I went ahead and did them. He said, "Yep, that's exactly what you did for me in one visit. That's it." And he didn't live in my area, so I didn't see him again. I should follow up on him. I don't know how he did after that, but he went out pretty good. He let me know that he called me and let me know that was pretty incredible. He said the next day, because he was expected it to go better, he said, no diminution. If anything, it got better by the next day. And it was already 85% better. One visit. Sometimes it can be that quick. I don't know if he found somebody else, but I told him, "You got to get a chiropractor that does muscle tests, and you should start doing it yourself, too." That's the key. People say, "What kind of chiropractor should I get?" Get somebody that does muscle testing, because otherwise it's, put in the vernacular, it's pop and pray. You know, and I don't like that style because, I'll tell you, it forces me to do the patient sufficiently and adequately, you know, so they get the result they're looking for. Mm-hmm. Like this last one, I don't have the testimonials here. The listeners should go to my website, dowerhealthsolutions.com, because I've got some preliminary cases. I just set it up last week. I just got the cards that have my website on it now, because I do have patients from all over the world, tell you the truth, from time to time. Not a flood of them, because it's all word of mouth. I'm not even on the internet. But I decided I better get on the internet because people want to know about this type of stuff.
Yes.
So bottom line is, you got to get the body to work right through the central nervous system, whether it's a sciatica, whether it's a terminal infection. I'm 8 for 8 for terminal infections, and every one of them were expected to expire, and they had they were refractory to all known antibiotics. You know, there's a bigger problem with that all the time now because we're losing the power because they were used promiscuously. They didn't save it for when they really needed it. But at any rate, so they need somebody like that. And I didn't take them off. They were still taking the same antibiotics, but all I did is add my special Chinese herbs and acupuncture and chiropractic. You got to do it all. Mm-hmm. And they all pulled out, every one of them, which I felt was pretty unusual. Then we have the organ transplant cases. And Dr. Bittner was sitting in the office, in my office there, and the two ladies said, isn't it wonderful? We don't have to have an organ transplant anymore, and we don't even have to have dialysis. And he says, what? Where did you ladies have this done? Because I do kidney transplants all day long. And he says, well, we had it done right here by Dr. Dower. He says, what? Right here? You didn't go to Scripps or Mayo Clinic or something? No, it's done right here. So he said, why didn't you tell me this? I said, well, you're a bad case, and I wanted to write something up. I didn't get a chance, but now that the cat's out of the bag, yeah, I'm doing that kind of work. And I've got at least 6 transplants that are healed. One of them is 100 pounds overweight. I never could get her to eat right. But she's has to have dialysis about every two and a half to three months, though. But it's phenomenal. She's doing that good with eating junk food. And she's not eating the way I was eating at the fast food places. She's eating the typical way they're all eating. And mm-hmm. I had another, a friend of hers, 95 years old, also 100 pounds overweight, roughly 95 pounds to be exact. I guess she's matching her age. There's some symmetry there. At any rate, bottom line with her, they're saying, why are you alive? Well, it doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to be dead. She says, they're like accusing me for being alive. She got a little upset with that.
A little ridiculous.
Yeah, she got a little upset with that. So at any rate, she said, no, I've got Dr. Dower. I'm fine as long as I have Dr. Dower. I couldn't get her. She ate a little better, but not much better than the other one. But the weight shows you they're not eating right. See? But then there's the people that are eating perfectly, like in Marin County. This internist up there was on public television saying, you can't believe these people, how perfectly they're eating, and they got every damn thing wrong with them you could ever believe. So if diet were the answer, they wouldn't have all this stuff. It's important, but it's not everything.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to be without it in a lot of cases. Some cases, it's going to make the difference. But it just depends. Like the lady with 6 organs full of cancer, started out in colon, liver, went to liver through the portal system, then through contiguous association, it went right into the lungs, then it went in the brain, the kidney, and I don't know, and maybe the bone was the 6th one. Anyway, 6 organs. And they said, I said, how'd you hear of me? He said, well, they told me I better get over, check in before I check out. So I'm over here to see what you can do, and I need a guarantee. And I said, well, I know brain is one of the ones that got affected. I think you're having some brain problem there.
Where do you get a guarantee in life?
Yeah. Well, that's what I told him. I said, well, wait a minute. On the spur of the moment, I said, I'm going to give you a guarantee. In fact, I'll give you 2, but not the one you're thinking. I'm going to guarantee my best effort. As the lady from Mayo Clinic, this last case just a couple months ago, said, Dr. Dar will always give you 110%. Because I had the best doctors in the allopathic field on drugs and surgery. They got me halfway, but I'm still in misery because halfway wasn't good enough because I'm in really bad shape. And he got the other half, and I'm so happy that I took a chance. And I said, sometimes you got to go outside the box. Yeah. I said, we got to remember, I'm inside the box too. I'm outside the box, and I'm all around the box. You know, I'm doing it all. I'm doing whatever it takes to get people well.
Yeah.
But getting back to the case with... let's see, which case were we talking about?
The
lady, I'm making guarantees. Yeah.
Overweight?
Yeah, no, this was the one with the 6 organs.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 organs. And I told her, I said, well, yeah, I'll guarantee my best effort. I'll guarantee if we can get your body to work right, you'll get out of this. You'll be well. But I said, you've got to underline that if about 10 times, maybe even 20, because you're so far gone. But I said, there's always hope. If there's life, there's hope. And about 14 years later, and she's still alive, thank you. See, so we made it. And what else? Then she came.
And how old was this woman?
Let me see. She was 62. She's 62 years old. And then she came back about a few years later. She moved to Texas. She came back a few years later. And she heard I had this patient who had cancer like hers. And I was struggling with her. And she says, wait a minute. This lady is 15 years younger than me. She's only got two from the colon, and it went to her liver. So that should be easy for a guy like you. That's not very advanced at all. And I said, well, you're admonishing me a little bit, and you're right to do that. But let me explain something here. It's what you got to understand is not how advanced a cancer is, it's how reversible it is. Everything you had was reversible. What she has is not reversible. And that's why she's already 3 months beyond the prognosis. She's 9 months. They told her about their mother at six. I don't know if the mother told her, and I don't want to say anything. But 6 months prognosis, and she's at 9 months. But I don't know. I don't know how much longer I can keep her alive, because I can't fix the spine. She's got a great three scoliosis and two injuries superimposed on that, and it's all fused. It's a natural fusion, and it started at age 25. She's 47 now. I've had her since she was 25, but I kept hoping that if I could move it above and below, that might be enough to make it happen, because there's more than one area, but that's the prime area that goes in the colon or the ovaries. So I was always afraid she was going to get cancer of one of those two, more likely the colon, and she did get the colon cancer. So if I couldn't prevent it, how the heck am I going to cure it? And I did lose her. I couldn't do it. Because if I can't reverse it, it's not going to happen. So that's it. I can't cure everything. I'm not walking on water, although I've been accused of that. And that leads us to Dr. Lee, who was an orthopedist in Torrance, main area there. And he calls up my receptionist. He says, you have a Dr. Dower working over there? I said, yes. And I said, I need to talk to him. And she said, oh, my God, what did we do wrong? I said, nothing wrong. I'll tell you quickly what's going on. I had two cases, one scheduled for surgery with an 8-millimeter low back herniation. The other one, 6-millimeter, a lady, female, and we were contemplating surgery for her. And they rolled back in here with no pain and full range of motion and everything, so I did comparative MRIs to check it out. And I couldn't believe it. They were down to zero herniations, no herniations whatsoever. And listen, I've worked with hundreds of chiropractors and physical therapies, and nobody ever did one. And your doctor did two back to back. I want to take him out to lunch and see if he's walking on water. So she took me.
Wow.
He took me out to lunch. I said, contrary to popular belief, I am not walking on water, but I'm trying to skip as fast as I can.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then we had Dr. Fenton, another Torrance orthopedist, who was, let's just say, he was a chiropractic skeptic. As a lot of orthopedists are, and my son had two fractures in a row, and he got the fractures. I got him on the cast in both times in 3 weeks, when it's normally 6 to 8 weeks. So one was a boxer's fracture, fifth metacarpal, and the other one was a Colles fracture in the wrist. So bottom line, again, it was 3 weeks, and comparative x-rays showed that it was healed in 3 weeks. They took the cast off. Then a 53-year-old showed up. That was me. And with a first metatarsal break, fracture, and I got out of the cast in 3 weeks. Now he's starting to think a little bit, this is a little strange here. See, and then we had another one in common who also got out, somebody not of the family, got out of the cast in 3 weeks. He didn't refer anybody to him, we just had these patients in common. And he was our family orthopedist, even though he was kind of a chiropractic skeptic. Then nothing happened of note until 2 years later. I went to a personal injury seminar that was mainly chiropractors there, and lo and behold, there's Dr. Fenton lecturing at the seminar there. So on the break, I went up to him and said, Dr. Fenton, I'm a little surprised to see you here. And then Dr. Fenton said, well, comparative x-rays don't lie. And that was his comment. So he went from chiropractic skeptic to chiropractic advocate, but I would put the advocate still in quotes. Okay, so anyway, he came around, I've been very helpful for the family, because I don't get a lot of these cases. Like my cousin came in, he's coming in, he says, I'm scheduled for surgery in a few days, and Dr. Berg, this is famous uncle I told you about, because he saw some spectacular cases with the chemist that worked at the USC chemistry department, which he ran, and he himself too. So anyway, so he sent my cousin in there. And he says, I'm scheduled for surgery. I don't know, 4 or 5 days from whatever that time was. So I said, well, all right, let me work on you. And I felt it was probably a simple misplacement, misalignment. I lined him up, tucked his crutches under his arm, and shot right out of there with a brisk walk instead of limping in like he did. And that's the end of the surgery. He didn't need it. That was a one visit again. See, a lot of these can
that's
be one.
That's great.
So that that was pretty good. And then one of the most famous was my daughter developed a septal heart defect between the two ventricles. And we found out later that her grandmother, took DES instead of folic acid. Here's what you need, folic acid, because there's three miscarriages until my wife was finally delivered, who turned out to be my wife, because she had three miscarriages. And then so they decided, well, we'll do DES. But it was in the literature already, folic acid. That's why they need to study the journals, because there's no side effects of that for that type of case. So they did DES, which is a more dangerous drug than they thought. Again, it's not Mother Nature. So they found a skips generation and caused septal defects. I was just flipping channels like a typical male on TV when I heard that news.
Wow.
And I said, wow, that's the answer. I couldn't figure out why we had it. There's nothing in our history. So they sent us to the cardiac pediatrician. My daughter's exactly 1 year old. Said, well, she's mild to moderate, but she's not quite bad enough to see her sooner than a year. Normally see her in a year. I said, well, what happens? When do these heal up? He said, well, typically it takes 4 or 5 years. If that doesn't happen, we can always do open heart surgery. Like it's nothing. That's not nothing. Okay.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. So anyway, he said, well, how many heal in a year? I said, oh, she went like that. 1 to 2% maybe. So I said, okay, we'll see in a year. So I did my full panoply of therapies. It came back in a year and says, wow, this is amazing. It's completely healed. and I said, yeah, I did everything possible to make that happen.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you got to expect somebody's going to be in that 1% to 2%. I said, well, you're going to find if you send me some referrals with these cases, you're going to find a lot of them are going to be in that 1% to 2%. And she didn't make any comment. And he never sent me a referral, and that was it. But anyway, my daughter got healed, and then that was it.
And that's what counted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the work I'm doing. I think they're getting the picture of, but it's all about the central nervous system, the central thing. The brain is only part of it. It's half of it, and it's a dynamic half. I admit that. But you got to get the other part that doesn't get any press. That's the spinal cord. Your brain cannot function right if your spinal cord is not working right. And it doesn't take much, a couple slams here or there, a bang here, a car accident. How about the guy in my testimonials? That's why you guys got to go to my website and read this stuff. So you learn something. This guy came into me with, just a standard back or neck problem when he was 17 years old, but he had insurance under his parents' insurance, so we went ahead with it. Then a few years later, he flies over the top on a mountain bike and really gets racked up really bad, and he went to the hospital that's covered, but he never came to me afterwards. So he figured, well, the pain kind of went away, so I'm fine. So then he is a fender bender. Now he's 24. So a couple years after he's a fender bender, and all of a sudden he can't see. He goes completely blind. The medics told him, okay, you got to learn Braille here. You got to give him the program. Learn Braille. His mother said, wait a minute. We're not done until we talk to Dr. Dower. So he came over to me and he said, what can you do? I said, I don't know. I never had a blind person before. But I recently got my impetus to get into acupuncture by this sight points around the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really jammed the neck and everything. And I took x-rays and I said, it's too bad he didn't come in because a fender bender is never going to cause this unless it's a straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. What broke the camel's back is flipping over the handlebars. That's what really set him up, predisposed the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it took me about 10 days, mainly acupuncture, but more and more instrument-style chiropractic because he was too severe for me to use manual. But I do very light manual. I get a lot of patients that are afraid to go to a chiropractor. They're going to kill me. Something crazy like that. Actually, you got more people dying in a beauty shop than you have in a chiropractic place. So it's random. We don't have any problem that way. My malpractice is $1,000 a year. Orthopedist, if it's not subsidized by the state or some other means, is typically $500,000 premium. Mine's $1,000, so, and that's based on the amount of risk and malpractice potential.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you an idea there. But at any rate, so we got him well, and we're working with the central nervous system. I want to finish the analogy. So you get all the dynamicism from the brain, but their brain can't work right without the spinal cord. For you football fans out there, that would be like talking, let's say, about a quarterback like Peyton Manning when he's had a bad day in the Super Bowl there because his offensive line didn't perform, or the defensive line on the other side overperformed. Bottom line is he was sitting on his butt most of the time. He's one of the most famous and best quarterbacks that ever lived, and he had an abysmal game because he was sitting on his butt and he had people flying in his face constantly. See, so that dynamicism got lost, and he got crunched. See, and they lost pretty convincingly. So the bottom line is it's like the offensive line in football. See, and if they're offensive in their play, there's going to be a problem, see, for the quarterback. Yeah. That's why they take them out to dinner a lot, the quarterbacks. They make a lot more money than the linemen anyhow. So the point is to get across, you got to have both. You got to have full integration there, and then you've got to have it balanced. See, and that's one and the same pretty much. Mm. And that's what my claim to fame is. That's what sets me apart from just about anybody on the planet. And I have medical doctors tell me there's nobody on the planet doing what you're doing anywhere that we know of. At least they're not published. But in fairness, I'm not published either. And I'm going to solve that because if you read on the card here, it says, the other part, ABFF, Anton B. Berg, that's the famous uncle from USC, although mm-hmm. I have other famous uncles in science, as I said. Director, I'm the director of the clinical research there, plus I'm the president of the research foundation. He left roughly $5 million, give or take a few hundred thousand, for research, and also supporting graduate students doing research. And so I've been applying that, but I haven't been able to do my own research because these incredible results require incredible proof. And it shouldn't be a big step because all I have to do is just replicate what I'm doing in the clinic and in a research setting. And I'm trying to get that done, but I'm having a little bit of problem with the board right now because they say I've got a conflict of interest because I'm president of the board, even though I'm not taking any money. I don't think that makes sense. I'm exploring that out. But if I can't do it through my own board, I'll find another board to do it from. This research must be done, and I've got to make sure that the chiropractors and acupuncturists know how to do this work. Because someday I'm not going to live forever, and I don't want to take this with me to the grave. Unfortunately, my chiropractor took it with him to the grave. I have some idea of some of the stuff he did, but he didn't publish anything. And we've got to publish. Publish or perish, or your ideas can perish.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
And I'm determined. My patients said, will you please be careful? Don't let anything happen to you. They're so worried something's going to happen to me. But I don't think anything's going to happen to me because I'm still playing pretty active tennis with the younger set, 25-year-olds. And I played semi-pro at one time in tennis. And they say, you're not the slowest guy out there either. So I've still got my first step speed pretty much thanks to this kind of work. This is tremendous for athletes. And in fact, we'll talk about Jerry Robinson, all-pro linebacker for the Raiders. He came in and twice. Same. He came in and his wife came in, and then he said, I got to get Jerry in here. He's on the DL. He's never going to make it. He's so beat up. And I said, Jerry, you got to come in every day. I got 1 month to fix you up. He came in every single day, and I got him ready in camp. He had one of the best camps ever. And then he played a couple more years. But then he had a big game with Denver. He got a bad injury, the knee and back. Said, Doc, the last time I had this, I was out 10 or 11 weeks. But I said, Jerry, you got a big game in 7 days from now. I got to get you ready. He said, Doc, you never get me ready in that time. I said, well, just get in here the way I tell you. So he got in here every day, at least once a day, sometimes twice a day. I remember Saturday night, the night before the game, he said, damn it, Doc, I can't believe it. I'm going to be able to play. I can't believe it. You got me there. And then in the last 2 minutes, Elway, the famous quarterback, is ready to get a first down. If he makes that first down, the Raiders will lose the game. It's a low-scoring game. It was 6-3, and Denver was up. And Jerry stepped in front of the guy and made the interception because he knew that coverage. He knew that was going to come, and he stopped the interception, and they punched it in. They beat him 10-6. So he came in on Monday. He said, if it wasn't for you, we would have lost that game. I said, yeah, but you made the play, so you take the credit. But, yeah, it was just a tool to help you get there, and I'm glad I could do that. He says, good thing you did, because my understudy wouldn't have known the coverage, you would have lost the game. So, you see, you never know.
Yeah.
In fact, they won a lot of games here. When they went up to Oakland, they didn't have me. They started losing a lot of games because I was treating more than him. See, I was just ready to capture the whole team, but they went away. But then I treated people on the Angels, and so I put a big sign in there. When the Angels were in the World Series, I put Angels 3, Dodgers 0. And the patient said, "What the heck's that all about? Are you an Angels fan or something?" Because there are more and more Dodgers in my area. I said, "Not particularly, but I treated three Angel players and noticed they're in the World Series. And I didn't even try to get any of those guys. I tried to get in the Dodgers. I couldn't get in with them. And I got zero. I didn't get anything there. And who's in the World Series? The Angels in the World Series, and the Dodgers aren't anywhere that year." So there you go.
This has been a very interesting discussion with you. And it sounds to me like you're doing what you love.
Oh, yes. I would never want to do it. I can't picture me doing anything else. This is my destiny. Yeah. After all, 6 years old, seven when he saved me. Mm-hmm. I should have been dead by all rights. All these other kids died. But I survived because I went to the right, not only the chiropractor, but the right one. Yeah, he was very good. He had a feedback system, too. I don't have time to go into. But you need some kind of feedback. The most common one now is muscle testing, because it's so many times it has given me the answer. It's given me insights into what's going on with research. Then years later, the research comes out and prove what I was saying.
And it's easy. And the body gives you an answer.
Yeah, constantly get the feedback. Because I wouldn't be able to get these results if I didn't get that feedback, because you've got to get it exactly right to make these special improvements in patients' health. Yeah.
Okay, in summing up, if you could give our listeners tips that would help them with their health and maintaining it, what would you say is the most important thing?
Well, I don't always follow this 100% myself, but I'd recommend we all strive to do this. Let's try and stay balanced in everything we do, with our sleep, with our exercise, with our emotions. If you look at the people that are living extra long, they're all doing that. Of course, it helps to eat right. That's part of the balance, too, balanced food. You don't have to be a vegetarian, but vegetarianism, you should lean in that direction. And the meat you should have should be grass-fed and as natural. Everything needs to be as natural as possible. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature, as it said in that ad. See, and that's we need to stay as natural as possible, because over hundreds of thousands of years, that's the way we evolved. Even the grains are recent in the last 5,000 years, and we're still trying to adapt to that. We got gluten issues, all kinds of stuff. So I don't do well with grains, but there are some grains that are good, like amaranth, and some of the oats are good. And let's see what else.
Quinoa.
Yeah, you don't pronounce that. Quinoa. And get in with the good grains, the best grains, and seeds. I eat a lot of seeds, a lot of nuts, raw if possible. No salt. I eat that all the time. And have fruit for dessert. Not in between meals even. Now we're so sensitized. You could get away with that in the past. Everybody's so sugar sensitized. And now you got to get some. I have had patients that can't even let them eat fruit now until we get their body recalibrated to normal insulin and everything else, because they're so stressed out with all the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to avoid that, because in chiropractic school, I was putting 4 teaspoons of sugar in my coffee, and until I studied this physiologically. And guess what I found out? What I found out when I went to 3 teaspoons, it tasted like no sugar. It tasted like no sugar. So then I decided to go to zero. I put milk in for cream, and I got used to that. And a trick to get the sugar down is eat natural sugar, cane sugar if you're going to have it, but try and keep it less and less. But here's what you want to do. You want to suck on a lemon, something before, because even tap water tastes sweet if you do that. That's a trick I use, too. I tell my patients that seems to be working pretty good. And then I have detoxification treatments. You can do it through diet, but it takes forever. But we can do it quickly with acupuncture, get rid of sugar addiction. Yeah, but so try and stay as balanced as possible and as natural as possible, so you're on the prevention side, and take whole vitamins, not fractionated vitamins. If you do fractionated, take a whole of something that'll protect that fraction.
Mm.
And that's the best advice I can give.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for...
Thank you. I enjoyed this.
This is great. Mm-hmm. It's a good learning experience for all of us.
Okay, you're quite welcome. Good night.
Thank you for being with us for this hour. Please join us each Sunday night on BBS Radio Station 1 at 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Shows can also be heard in the archives section of the Media tab. Please remember that PFC is a volunteer group and we survive by donations only. So look deep within, and if you feel guided, we encourage you to go to prepareforchange.net website and donate an amount you can afford. That way you can assist us to continue the work at prepareforchange.net global movement. We thank you for your generosity and your much-needed show of love and kindness. Remember, we are all voices of the world.
I hear the words of Gandhi and Martin Luther King to take the peaceful path, to dream the noble dream. We're all brothers and sisters who share a world that's small. When we let go of our greed, there'll be enough for us all. The walls have been built to keep people apart. We can join together through the beauty of the beauty of the heart. I hear the voices of the world singing songs of peace and light. I see the vision of harmony appearing within our sight. From every culture, every faith, a flower blooms to right each wrong. We are the voices of the world. Add your voice and sing along.
All mothers feel their child as they laugh and learn and cry.
All fathers feel the same pride when they look into their eyes.
Yet some families go hungry, struggling just to live.
But there's enough for everyone if we just knew how to give.
Now is the time for a new era to start.
Join together through the beauty of the beauty of the heart.
I hear the voices of the world singing songs of peace and light. I see the vision of harmony appearing within our sight. From every culture, every faith, flower blooms to right each wrong. We are the voices of the world. Add your voice and sing along.
All people are part of the dream. We love to show the way. The violence will cease. All people are part of the team to extend harmony so the world will live in peace. I hear the voices of the world from every village, every land, a ray of hope within each smile, a new friend to join my hand. Human spirit lifts us high to fill our hearts again with song.